Good, we'll get going. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Viridian Farm Public Infrastructure District number 2. Today is August 18, 2026. It's 3:04 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for the call to order, if everyone on the call, if you could state your name for the recording, we're going to start with the board. Adam, your chair, do you want to start for us?
Sure, Adam Loser, Chair.
Shannon Merck's treasurer.
Scott Bishop, clerk.
Matt Entz with Snow Jensen and Reese District Council.
This is Adam Daly with Gilmore Bell Bond Council.
Tari Gil Gilmore Bale.
Hi, Tom Wayne with Wells Fargo's bond underwriter.
Watson, Wells Fargo bond underwriter.
Ronak Modi, Wells Fargo bond underwriter.
Right, that's everyone I show. We do have Christy Barker back at Snow Jensen Reese, and then Scott Bishop's at the anchor location. Scott, do we have any members of the public?
No members of the public here.
All right. So, board, first item we need to do is we need to hold a public hearing, and that's regarding to take any possible public comments for the bonds to be issued. So, what I need is a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thanks, Adam.
I'll second.
Thanks, Scott. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. So, board, we're now in a public hearing, and that's to take any public comment regarding the bonds to be issued. So, Adam Daly, would you mind walking through kind of the why and everything about that?
Sure. Yeah, so under the Utah Local Government Bonding Act, any governmental entity that's issuing bonds secured by property taxes is required to hold a public hearing. And the purpose of that public hearing is to allow for input from the public regarding the issuance of the bonds and then any potential economic impact that the project to be financed with bonds might have on the private sector. So this would be the time now, if there are any members of the public at the anchor location or on this call, to go ahead and put their input. But it appears that there are no members of the public, if that's the case, Michael.
Yep, I don't show anyone that has joined. Scott, is there any members of the public there?
No.
Okay, perfect.
Great.
Okay, with that, then I need a motion to come out of the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thanks, Scott.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Adam. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, next item up, board meeting minutes from our last meeting in July. Have you had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate? Do you want me to put them up?
I've looked at them. I think they look good.
Me
Okay.
too. They look great.
Could I get a motion then?
Yep, I'll make a motion to approve the board meeting minutes from the meeting held July 29th, 2026.
Great. Thanks, Adam.
I'll second.
Thanks, Shannon. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, next up, the infrastructure acquisition and reimbursement agreement. Matt, do you want to walk through that for us?
Sure. And this is something, board, that you've seen before with PID number one. So we'll do the short version. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask or stop me at any point. The purpose of the infrastructure acquisition and reimbursement agreement is to establish the procedure by which the developer and any other entities that are entitled to payment or reimbursement from bond funds can request and obtain that reimbursement. This primarily focuses on the process by which that request is filed with the district. And Michael has pulled up one of the exhibits to the agreement, which is the application for payment or reimbursement. I think, if I'm not mistaken, with this new bond, we're anticipating prob one big reimbursement at or soon after the time of bond closing. And so this may be something that you only have to do once, but this is the process by which that happens. The payee that's seeking reimbursement will complete this form to request payment, along with this form and a description of the infrastructure costs to be reimbursed. There would be any supporting documentation attached, whether that's invoices or contracts or canceled checks or whatever manner of documentation is appropriate in the circumstances. And then there's the opportunity to select whether payments made by check or wire transfer. And then this would, of course, be signed by an authorized person for the entity that's seeking to be paid. And then on the third page of this is an important part of this request. This is where the engineer certifying the request on behalf of the district would sign and certify that the costs sought to be reimbursed are eligible and that they reflect the fair market value of the improvements that are related. So this form, along with the trustees form, which will be a part of the bond closing documents, which directs the trustee to pay reimbursement, which is signed by the district, by a district officer. Those two forms, along with the supporting documentation, basically form the main bulk of the requisition request. This can obviously be prepared prior to closing, and we can have the reimbursement paid very either at or very soon after the time of closing. This is also something that, if necessary, if we have multiple payees, more than just the development entity that need to be paid or reimbursed, we can do multiple requests at the same time if necessary too. So it's a fairly flexible process. I won't go into a lot of detail into the agreement other than to say it just talks about the board, by approving this agreement, is basically approving in advance the costs that have been identified as part of the bond transaction as costs that are eligible for financing with the bonds. And so in doing that, we sort of killed two birds with one stone with this agreement. We approve those costs, and then an engineer's estimate is usually what is used, but we would attach a list of those costs to this as an exhibit. And that and the payment application form are the exhibits to the agreement. So I can see Michael's wanting, has got on our screen here that we need to confirm the developer entity. And I don't recall if previously that the developer entity was just D.R. Horton, or if we had a subsidiary or an affiliate that we had used previously. Do we know? Can you say, board, at this moment, is it going to be D.R. Horton, the main entity that's going to be receiving the bulk of the?
It will be the entity. All the development work and costs
Okay.
that it would pay back has been paid for by D.R. Horton.
Okay.
So who is it, Scott or Adam, that I need to put attention to, and email and phone number?
You
Is that
can do
one of
me.
you two?
Yeah, you can put me down. It's fine.
Okay.
So the agreement will be between the district and the D.R. Horton entity. So we'll get that completed before this is circulated for signatures. So with that, I'll stop talking, and if you have any questions, feel free to call those out.
Yep. I think the only question I might have, Matt, is just maybe as a matter of practice is, we're the PID funds by no means pays for all of the infrastructure that we're putting in that could be eligible.
Right.
Can we front load that sum? I mean, we will have completed development of two of the five phases in PID 2, and can we seek full reimbursement for as much of the cost, basically stretch that PID as far as it goes on those first two phases, or do we need to carefully meter that out?
No, you don't need to carefully meter it out. You can use the PID funds for any eligible costs.
Okay.
That I think there's an understanding that the PID is not going to be financing all of the costs, not even all of the eligible costs. And so if you have eligible costs that are ready to be reimbursed and that can be certified, I don't think there's any reason to meter it out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that, but that's my take on it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that's correct. And Scott, there's even advantages of requisitioning for funds earlier in the process, just because there are down the road eventually potential arbitrage restriction concerns if the funds sit for over 3 years. So the earlier you can find eligible expenses to reimburse yourself for, the better.
Sounds good. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. Should we talk about the second agreement, Michael, or do you want to take action on this one first?
Either way, might as well do it since you just brought it up. So, could I get a motion then to approve this infrastructure acquisition and reimbursement agreement with the notation that we're going to update the developer section?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the infrastructure acquisition reimbursement agreement with the updated developer contact information between the district and the developer.
Thanks, Adam.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Shannon. All those in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. Is it? There we go.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the administrative funding and reimbursement agreement. Again, very similar, probably even identical to the agreement that we did with PID number one. The purpose of this agreement is a little different from the infrastructure agreement, though. The purpose of this agreement is to basically establish an agreement between the district and the developer that if the need arises and the district is unable to cover its own administrative costs and expenses, that the developer will offer an amount of funds to help the district do that. It's capped at a total amount of $200,000, and any amount that's advanced under this would be treated as a loan from the developer to the district, and an interest rate applied to it, and interest to accrue. I think by default we typically have, I think, a 6% rate in this agreement, which that's obviously negotiable between the district and developer if you want to see something different there. But the idea behind this is really just to provide a backstop. I mean, we have a responsibility, board and those serving you, to make sure that the district can operate lawfully and fulfill all of its responsibilities. The bond will provide some resources to be able to do that. And I believe there will be an administrative or a working capital fund set aside from the bond proceeds, which should cover the operational expenses of the district for probably the first 2 to 3 years, depending on how much is set aside. Once that is exhausted, if the district has the ability to pay its own expenses out of its revenues and still satisfy its bond obligations, obviously it will do that. But in case that it's not able to pay its own expenses, this agreement basically gives it another source of funds to do that. So pretty straightforward. The any obligation that's created by this agreement, by the developer lending funds to the district for these purposes, the agreement provides that obligation can be converted into a promissory note at the developer's request. It also it states that that obligation is not prior to the district's obligation to pay its bond obligations. So that's an important factor. Obviously, the district's first responsibility has to be to pay its obligations under the bond, but beyond that, any resources that it has and can apply to repayment of any obligation here would be applied. So, any questions about this agreement?
I don't think so. Shannon, do you have any input or concerns about a 6% interest rate?
No, is that similar to PID one?
I would have to double check, but I suspect that it is the same as we used in PID 1. That's sort of the default rate that we put into these into this form, and very rarely if we add anyone actually change it. So,
Do
but
we,
we can't.
yeah, did have we had to do this at all with PID one?
I don't believe so. I think
Okay.
that I think the working capital under the PID 1 bonds have at least so far covered all of the administrative expenses. So
Yeah.
we haven't reached a point where we've had to yet.
Great. Though I don't have any other questions. I think that's great.
Okay, could I get a similar motion as we did to the previous agreement?
Sure, I'll do it. I'll make a motion that we approve the administrative funding and reimbursement agreement.
Can you add that we're going to update the developer contact
Yes.
information? Thank you.
With the addition of making the modifications to add the developer's contact information.
Thanks, Scott.
I'll second the motion.
Thanks, Adam. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. Let me double check. Oh, okay, the interlocal. So if you guys remember, we are for PID 1, we belong to the local government's trust. That's who provides our liability insurance as well as the crime policy for the district. So they want us to be a member. So that's why we have this interlocal with them, and that's just to get the insurance. So pretty self-explanatory. Again, we did it for PID 1. So long term, we just list Matt and Tyler because eventually the board's going to turn over. So for consistency purposes, we just have Matt and Tyler listed. So any questions? Okay. Could I get a motion then to approve resolution 2026-03?
I'll make a motion to accept
Great. Thanks.
resolution 2026-03.
Thanks, Shannon.
I'll second.
Thanks, Scott. All those in favor say aye.
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 Right, that's unanimous. Matt, you want to cover the last one for us?
Sure. So this is for our engagement between the district and our firm. This Scott, in fact, I think you and I exchanged emails about this weeks back, but basically, as a formality, we wanted to make sure that we got formal approval from the board for our engagement with PID number 2. Obviously, PID 2 is a separate entity from PID number 1, so we have a separate engagement. But in terms of the terms, they are all the same, and at the same rates as you and I discussed, Scott. I think what we're looking for is just basically approving to have that the same engagement as we currently have with PID number 1 to be formally extended, and it's a separate engagement but on the same terms with PID number 2. I'll just mention generally for the benefit of the board, Scott, I think this was in the emails as well, but we're actually working towards putting the framework in place for 2027, starting in 2027, to restructure the way that we charge our district clients. We're actually gonna have a flat annual fee that covers all of our administrative related services. That includes both Michael and Christie's services that they provide on the administrative side, and also legal services that are just related to the operations and administration of the districts. And so that'll be covered by a flat fee. And then additional services that are not typical operational things like boundary actions or new bond issuances or litigation, things like that, will still be under an hourly rate. And that's all going to be covered in our new engagement that we'll present to you by the end of the year for your consideration and approval. But for now to get you through the end of 2026. This is the same engagement that we have with PID number one, and then we'll bring that back to you later in the year, so we can show you how that's going to work going forward. So, any questions about that?
Nope, it's great. Thanks for being workable with that, Matt, and helping us out. That's great.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, what I need then is a motion to approve the agreement for legal and management administrative costs with Snow Jensen and Reese.
Okay. I'll make that motion. Motion to approve the engagement agreement for legal services between DR between PID number two, Viridian PID number two, and Snow Jensen and Reese, and authorize the district chair to sign using the same terms as was in the engagement letter for PID number one.
Perfect. Thanks, Scott.
I'll second the motion.
Thanks, Adam. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. Okay, that's everything I have on the agenda. Do you guys have anything for us?
That's it for the agenda. I have got a question after the meeting's over regarding
Okay.
another matter. Yeah.
Yep, we can stay on. So, last thing then that I need is a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, Adam.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Shannon. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous.